Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Discover Covington County Hospital's Swing Bed Program, offering comprehensive care for patients transitioning from acute hospital care to home. With a focus on rehabilitation, we ensure a smooth journey back to your home environment. Choose Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? A little bit early tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. It's halftime of the AFC Championship, and I made the executive decision. I know we are way early, but I want to see the end of this game. Josh Allen just threw a dime right before halftime. It's a one-score game, and this one is just going to get – I mean, it's just going to be an awesome game. So we're going live right now, so we can knock the podcast out and we can watch the end. Have our cake and eat it too, if you will. So my name is Michael Borky again. Glad that you guys are here. Two things we're talking about tonight. Is it panic time for Ole Miss basketball? Is it panic time for Ole Miss basketball losing three in a row with a difficult stretch coming up? Texas now kind of surging a little bit as well. That looked like a game that not only did you expect them to win, but that they were kind of going to. Has that changed a little bit? Maybe. We'll talk about that on Tuesday more. But for now, is it panic time for Ole Miss basketball? And also, Senior Bowl week is here. And so Jackson Dart in particular, there's obviously a handful of Ole Miss players participating in Mobile this week, but this is a big week for Jackson Dart, a huge week for Jackson Dart. He can ascend into first-round pick territory this week with a good week. So we'll talk about that, read some of your comments, and then get out of here in about 20 minutes or so. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, because I see them, I engage with them. I love to see what you guys have to say, even if you're not watching or listening live. Also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of this podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Fulton, Mississippi, but he can take care of you anywhere in this state. Personal injury, if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Give him a call at 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Also, small business. If you're a small business owner or you want to start a small business and you don't know what you need to do legally to get that done, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. Again, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss basketball loses to Missouri in Columbia. And look, it was a frustrating game because they do a lot of things poorly, especially offensively. But on the surface, here, we'll do this. We'll do positive spin. We'll do negative spin, and the truth kind of falls somewhere in the middle. On the surface, it's one loss on the road at a ranked team. That's going to happen in basketball. That's going to happen especially in this version of the SEC. I think that there are still some fans that are kind of stuck in what the SEC was in 2009 as opposed to what it is today. This is a double-digit bid league easily. I mean, you've got right now, you've got 13 teams from the SEC that will make the NCAA tournament. It is the best league in college basketball by far. And so not only are there a lot of opportunities for great wins, basically every win is at least a good win. Most of them are great wins. And there are no bad losses in the league unless you lose to South Carolina at home. And even still, it's not that bad of a loss. I mean, the league is just, it's deep. It's very good. You're going to lose games in this league. Everybody's going to lose games in this league. It happens. The metrics really love Ole Miss. Their resume is still absolutely fine. I did see like a lot of meltdown, like this team's not going to make the tournament. And maybe they don't. Like maybe you don't see four more wins on their schedule and maybe they don't get those. But from a metrics perspective, this is not last year. They have a very good resume. The metrics really, really like them. They have no bad losses at all. They have a handful of really good wins. From a resume perspective, they are still absolutely in great shape. Losing at Missouri, a ranked Missouri team, does not hurt you at all. But that game didn't happen in a vacuum. So the negative spin is that game didn't happen in a vacuum. That's three losses in a row, played really bad offense again last night. They really don't have anybody that's just going to go get them a bucket consistently right now. Offense, not only are they not scoring the basketball, but look, the next basketball game I coach will be the first one. But something that I observe when I watch Ole Miss try to score the ball versus other teams in college basketball, it's a lack of ball movement and a lack of movement off ball. I'm curious as to what sometimes they think those possessions are supposed to create, because there are so many times where it's one pass, dribble out the clock, take contested three. And it's so often where a guy will pick up his dribble and he'll look to distribute the ball, and the other four guys are just kind of standing in place. There is very little movement in this offense at times. They get really stagnant. And I watch other teams that can really score, and they're moving without the ball. Ball movement is great. So they're moving without the ball, and then they're moving the ball very well. They're creating opportunities for clean, open looks. And it feels like for Ole Miss, they allow the opponent to make everything hard on them, because it's almost like they don't do any of those things. Maybe they're trying, and I'm just not smart enough to see that they fail there. But I watch other basketball teams that aren't as talented as Ole Miss is do things offensively that look right. And this team doesn't look right with the ball right now. They still really struggle to inbound. I mean, it's infuriating how bad they are inbounding the basketball. And they lost three games in three different ways. They get into a deep hole, climb out of it, lose in overtime in Starkville. Again, not a bad loss at all. Totally fine loss. Their net went up after that loss. Then they completely blow it on Wednesday against Texas A&M. And then yesterday, they cut it to four a couple times in the second half and just never really could get that bucket. And then Missouri had a couple of guys, especially one in particular, that just couldn't really miss from the outside, and you lose on the road. What I'm concerned about is their inability to score. I'm concerned about health at this point, and I'm concerned about psyche, like their mental state at this point, because and then rebounding, which third game in a row where, I mean, how many stops did they get and could not secure a rebound? Missouri got second chance opportunities. It was tough to watch. And so what is this team going to do? Because they're still fine. They're still in good shape. But three losses in a row are, and doing it similarly, but kind of in different ways. Like the concern meter from a scale from 1 to 10 to me is at like a 5 right now. I still like the way they defend. I still think they're going to be able to do things like protect their home floor. But man, right now they have nobody that they can go to get a bucket consistently. I still don't think they do a good enough job at moving the ball, moving without the ball, and then attacking the basket. They had a lot of shots in the paint, but still it's almost like they can even do a better job at creating contact and going right at the basket. It feels like at times they'll have a guard that'll penetrate and have an opportunity to attack the basket. And I know they have smaller guards, so maybe this is part of it, but they are so overly willing to pass out of opportunities after they create some penetration. It's a frustrating watch. So what will they do from here? We'll have to see. They've got to pull themselves up off the mat and toughen up and go get a win on Wednesday. I think Wednesday's an absolute must win, because three can turn into six really quickly with Auburn and Kentucky after Texas. So Wednesday is paramount. They're still in fine shape, but it is a frustrating watch at the moment. And I think that they are better than how they've looked over the last few games trying to score. I think they're better than that. Now, are they going to be an offensive juggernaut? No, clearly not. But I do think they're better than that. They can clean up some things. Luckily, a lot of what they do wrong is something that they can clean up, like inbounds and ball movement and stuff like that. But at some point, you got to wonder, why hasn't that happened yet? How on earth could they struggle inbounding the basketball after that is a major part of what cost them the game on Wednesday? I don't know. But I do know that it's approaching worry time for this team. They have got to go get a win on Wednesday. Wednesday is as must win as a game in January can be for Ole Miss. They've got to stop this slide with Auburn and Texas on the horizon. Also, Senior Bowl week is here. Now, we will talk about anything good that comes up with any Ole Miss player that is in Mobile at the Senior Bowl for sure. Juice Wells at the other All-Star game, apparently he's having some great practices, and that's another one of those things where you have got to wonder about his usage in 2024. We talked about it how many times during the season. They were never using him correctly, and it's a mystery because you look at other teams with guys with his skill set and how they use them, and Ole Miss did not get creative at all with Juice Wells. I mean, another infuriating thing to watch. It's, you know, you have a guy and you know what his skill set is and you're not using it. Instead, you're throwing him deep balls into double coverage. And I understand that there were times where he had opportunities to catch the ball and dropped it. Like, he had a drop problem this year, but a usage, there was also questions about his usage clearly. And he's shining at his All-Star game practice. Senior Bowl starts this week. It's all about Jackson Dart, though. I know there's other guys there, Pegues and Ivy, and there's a lot to like about a lot of these Ole Miss guys that are going to get drafted. But this is a huge week for Jackson Dart. It is, as you guys know already, it's a pretty weak quarterback class. It is one that has a lot of guys with a lot of questions. And there are a lot of teams, as always in the NFL, that need a quarterback. And regardless of your opinion on whether it should be like this or not, there is very clearly a 1-2 at the top. And then there's just kind of a lot of guys, right? And Jackson Dart's getting a lot of buzz. And Todd McShay and Mel Kiper and all these people are watching his film and looking at what he's capable of. And they're putting him going into this week as like QB3, possibly. Don't listen to what Cowherd said about it. He doesn't have a clue about that. Sixth round, give me a break. Just that's not, just ignore that stuff. The real draft people think that he could be QB3. That can be a first round pick with a good week this week. A lot of money gets made at the Senior Bowl. I think that the further away we get from games, the more Jackson is going to shine. And that's not a shot. I think that he's going to be able to win stuff like this. Now, the practice reps have to be good, right? The game, which I guess is a little less important than the practice, but all, like, he has to perform physically as well. But the interview stuff, the teammate stuff, the leader stuff, all that, all those things that teams really look for in a quarterback, he's going to knock that out of the park. He's going to interview extremely well. All of the background checking is going to go well for him. All of the leadership stuff is going to go well for him. And with a good week, he can be a first-round pick. He's athletic enough. Now, he's not a giant or anything like Josh Allen, but his size is not a detriment like a Dylan Gabriel. NFL people apparently really like his arm. Now, it's not the strongest arm they've ever seen, but it's not going to be like this huge weakness the way some people described him in the past anyway. This is a huge week for him. He absolutely can play himself into a first-round pick with a good week here and the other workouts and stuff that they'll do moving forward. But we'll be watching closely. Anything that comes up from this week, we'll talk about, of course. And, I mean, there's just no doubt there's a real opportunity for Jackson to shine and become a first-round pick. There are a lot of quarterback-needy teams in this draft. You know the NFL reaches for quarterbacks. He's the kind of personality that you can trust with a franchise. Can he physically show them that he's the type of player that you can win with your franchise? They'll find out this week. It is pretty wild that this is how the NFL works, but this week is more important than any game he played this year in terms of his NFL prospects. Isn't that wild? But that's kind of how it works. Happy to announce, by the way, before we get to your comments, that we have brought on a new partner here on the podcast. Toyota of Brookhaven has joined us right here on this podcast. And by the way, you don't have to live in Brookhaven to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. I recently purchased, it's been a few years, actually. I recently purchased a vehicle from a different dealership in the state of Mississippi. And let me tell you, when I pulled off the lot, how gross I felt. They were pushy. They sold me ultimately a bad car where they lied about the checks that they said they did. Clearly did not, but I bought the car as is. And once I figured everything out, it was a couple weeks later. Didn't, awful car buying experience. I got one over on me. They sold me a bad car. It was uncomfortable. Talking to the people at Toyota Brookhaven is a totally different experience. And look, it's a stressful time, even though, there's some economic optimism. It's still a huge purchase. And you want to do that at a place like Toyota Brookhaven, because they will treat you like a human being instead of somebody that they just see dollar signs for. They've got interest rates, by the way, if you want a Tundra, which ever since I've talked to the people at Toyota Brookhaven, my algorithm is filled with Tundras. Under 2% interest rates for 48 months if you want a Tundra. They have one of the highest rated service departments in Southwest Mississippi, according to all of the reviews on Google and Facebook. Bring any make and model to their service department, by the way, so you don't need to have a Toyota, and they will take care of you. They're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday if you need a tune-up, anything wrong with your vehicle. It doesn't have to be a Toyota. You didn't have to buy it there. They will take care of you in their service department. If you're in the car market, use code REBELREPORT online or in person to receive an additional $1,000 off any stock. In-stock new Toyota. So $1,000 on me. Just tell them it was me, and you get $1,000 when you buy a Toyota from Toyota of Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They say we deliver. They absolutely do. Very excited to have them with us here on the podcast. And tell them I sent you again, $1,000 on a new Toyota. Let's get to the comments. Ole Miss has got to rebound better. They absolutely do. Offensive rebounding was another problem. And when you're trying to, like, when you dig yourself a hole and you're trying to claw back in it, or like in the second half, they cut it down to 5 a couple times. And I think they got it down to 4 at one point, and they would get a stop, and then Missouri would get an offensive rebound. And it just, stuff like that never allowed them to really challenge for that game late. You're lucky this game is going to halftime. I know. We're going to get out of here soon, I promise, because I want to watch the end of it. That's just the truth. You said it Wednesday that A&M loss was a team killer, looking like it might have been. Lose to Texas, and it's over. Unfortunately, it does kind of have that feeling. Is it just you, or does it feel incredibly disappointing watching anyone play against Patrick Mahomes? Like, I legit don't know how you defend him. Because when he hangs it up, he'll end up being the greatest quarterback of all time. He's special, and I know he gets officiated differently. He absolutely gets officiated differently. It's undeniable. Any person trying to argue against that is wrong. But the reason he and the Chiefs keep winning are not because of NFL conspiracies. They keep winning because they're the best at this. That's why they keep winning. He's the best at this. Andy Reid is the best, and they draft well, and they organize well, and they're so well run. It's not a conspiracy. They're great. Mahomes gets officiated with a friendly whistle. Doesn't make anything I just said untrue. Yes, it's panic time. T says, good to see you, T. Hope you're doing well. Texas isn't a pushover either. Scary? No, they are not. They're absolutely not. Too small, get bullied. Think Ole Miss is going to drop out of the top 25? After an 0-2 week, yes, they will drop out of the top 25. But that doesn't matter. The AP poll does not matter. It's their net. That's the only thing that matters. Could not possibly care less about the poll. Their net is still fine. I'll hit the panic button if they lose Wednesday. Not there yet. They've lost to 3 good teams, and only Missouri was where they got truly beaten the whole game. Yeah. Looking like a repeat of last year all over again. I don't know if that's the case quite yet. Ole Miss didn't have any – they had – The resume was totally different last year than it is this year. I can see why you think that, though, and that thought has creeped into my head as well. But you say team chemistry isn't there. On the inbound stuff, that I just wonder, how are they still not on the same page? But the rebounding has become a serious issue, and they're turning it over more now, which compounds it worse. Yep. They're also having issues with the dual sloppy play at times, and they still don't get enough from Morrell. I think Morrell's hurt. I think he's trying to play hurt, but yeah, Padul has hit some kind of a wall where he's really not protecting the basketball. He's frankly doing a really bad job for what you expect from him at protecting the ball. It's becoming an issue. Sloppy passing is a must change. Number one, also rebounding. Don't get stuck in the middle and freeze. Brakefield is the only real steady performance they're getting every game. It's all over the place right now. Do I like movies? I like shows more than movies, but yeah, I like movies. Fine. Why do these critiques of Ole Miss sound eerily similar to Kermit's previous teams? This is not close, I don't think. Kermit did make the tournament in year one with – he made it, to his credit. But the SEC was not what this is now then, and then after that it fell off a cliff completely. No, this does not look and feel the same as his last few teams, I don't think. Could be wrong. You can only coach up so far. It's up to the players to listen. Lack size and basketball skills. Another one. Right now, I'm setting the win total 8.5, and I'm leaning towards 8-10. I'd have them beating Texas, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and maybe splitting Carolina, LSU on the road. Just get into the tournament. Get into the tournament. The school year has been a vicious return of We Are Ole Miss in the Big Three sports, just countless inexplicable losses with late-game leads, finally paying the price for the baseball title. It's not over yet in basketball. Women lost to a top-10 Texas team today in a very similar way to how the men did on Wednesday versus A&M. Yeah, I'll be honest. I was watching football. I did not see that. But I did see that the discourse is fired up again about finances, and for good reason. That that's an uncomfortable conversation, and also no, it's an uncomfortable conversation for some. But the reality is, the revenue sharing era is here, and $20 million out of the budget, or $20 million, has to go to the athletes, and it has to come from somewhere. And it is absolutely fair to wonder why they are so heavily invested in a sport that cannot possibly make money. Even South Carolina doesn't make money, and they sell out their arena and they win championships. Some people don't like that conversation. Some people that cover the team have even argued, when you're talking about contract extensions and stuff, just pay whatever, and you can't do that anymore. There is a financial discussion to be had, and for some reason it makes people uncomfortable, and it creates emotional discourse when it's not an emotional conversation. It's a dollars and cents conversation, but people take it and turn it. Some people take it and turn it emotional. The amount of money that is being spent seems, in the revenue sharing era, like a poor investment. Some people don't like that, and that's fine, but no business would operate at such a deficit. Going to try to make the Senior Bowl. It's closer for you. Awesome. Shout out to the Eagles today. Yeah, but they ended up falling asleep in the second half for a second. Hoping the best for Dart, but I think he's going to be the fifth quarterback off the board after Sanders, Ward, Milroe, and Ewers in that order. Yeah, I agree with this part. Some GM is going to destroy their job and organization with Jalen Milroe. Oh, absolutely. I mean, because like Jalen Hurts just took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. Do you know how much better at quarterback Jalen Hurts is than Milroe? I mean, it's not even close, but people are just going to fall in love with him. Somebody will, I'm sure. But all it takes is one. All it takes is one. That would be such a mistake, though. You think Will Howard will be top 10? I don't, actually. But he did have a heck of a playoff, though. So maybe he can move up the board. If you're the Titans, you're trading off the number one pick, moving back a few spots and drafting Abdul Carter. That's very smart, but they're not going to do that. Dart was an above average college quarterback. If a team reaches, maybe second round. He can play his way into a first this week. but certainly not guaranteed. Buying cars, not curtain rods. Yeah. Judkins getting his draft on. He'll get picked for sure. I don't think he's a first round guy though. The speed is going to be to his detriment because he can't do what Saquon did today, right? He can't do that. He's a physical back, good player. Somebody's going to pick him for sure. I don't think he's a first round tools running back. Could be wrong. Tonight feels like when Peyton and the 06 Colts won their Super Bowl. They always lost to Brady and the Patriots in the playoffs until that one time they finally got them. I'm hoping so, too. We'll have to see. Sadly, you think the Chiefs win. Padula has played bad, I agree. And he's better than that, right? He can certainly play better than he has lately. Absolutely can. The Alabama curse? Nah, it's not a curse. When are they going to make Notre Dame join a conference? They got $20 million for losing, and Ohio State got like $3 million for winning. Who can make them? Who can do it? No, Notre Dame, what a grift is not the right word, but man, they got one over on the rest of college football during the playoff expansion discussions. Because people were so short-sighted about the buys and the automatic bids, and Notre Dame was like, oh, well, actually, no, we're fine. We're totally fine not having a conference and not getting a bye. That's okay. And people are like, oh, wow, look at Notre Dame. They don't ever have to play in a conference championship, so it's the same number of games, and they get all that money. I mean, how somebody like Greg Sankey agreed to that and Petitti in the Big Ten. Notre Dame competes more with the Big Ten than the SEC, right? Because they're in Indiana. How the commissioner of the Big Ten and how Greg Sankey looked at that and thought, this is fine. I mean, it was such, in hindsight, such a bad deal for both of those conferences. Everybody else, it was great for the ACC. It was great for Notre Dame. It was great for the Big 12. It was great for the Group of Five. Awful for the SEC and the Big Ten. They got one worked over on them. And I don't know how they let that happen, especially knowing that in 2026, they get more control. I would love to know more. Maybe I'm just not educated on the matter, but I know that this playoff is really bad for the SEC, and it's worse for the Big Ten. And yes, they just won the national championship, but you guys know what I mean. From a financial perspective, the leaders of the two richest conferences got one worked over on them by Notre Dame. And, I mean, the ACC gets two bids. Why did that league get two bids? It's crazy. No reason SMU should have been in the playoff. But no reason Arizona State and Boise State should have had a bye. No reason for that. But they agreed to it, and look at what happened. Craziness. But anyway, told you guys it was going to be a little bit shorter because AFC Championship. So enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy your football. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll talk a little Senior Bowl stuff, get ready for the Texas game, and more with you guys. I'll see you then. Y'all have a great rest of your night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.